The orthopedics industry has been around for a century, developing devices and implants that help people walk, run, and live healthier lives. But despite being one of MedTech's oldest sectors, it's also one of the fastest adopters of new technologies. Space-age materials, surgical robotic systems, sensors that can send data directly to hospitals and physicians. In this series, we'll talk with industry leaders about how these new technologies will change the face of MedTech. Welcome to the Ortho Innovation Talks podcast.
Hey everyone, this is Tom Salemi of Device Talks. Welcome back to the Ortho Innovation Talks podcast. Our guest today is Jim Lancaster. Jim is the president of Recon at Zimmer Biomet. He's also executive director of its global headquarters in Warsaw, Indiana. And anyone knows that Warsaw, Indiana is the orthopedics capital of the world, and it would like to be more than that. So we'll talk with Jim about some of the work he's doing to help that area grow its MedTech presence. But before we get into that conversation or that part of the conversation with Jim, we're of course going to talk about Zimmer Biomet's orthopedics portfolio. In particular, we'll talk about obviously knee and hip, and we'll cover its use of sensors in its knee implants. And of course, that is part of its agreement or its partnership with a company called Canary Medical. And we'll talk a bit about Canary Medical in the conversation. But if you want to find out more about Canary Medical, I am inviting you to a very special webinar series that we're putting on the week of, it's September 10th, 11th, and 12th. There's four different discussions. We'll be running them again on September 10th, 11th, and 12th. And one of those conversations will feature Bill Hunter, who's the CEO of Canary Medical. And he'll have some new data that Canary Medical is collecting on the knee. And also likely we'll have some information about work they're doing in spine. But it's just a great demonstration of how sensors and data are really helping MedTech implants improve or perform better. So thank you to S3 Connected Health and Maxon for sponsoring that Connected Health series. And we'd love to have you be part of that Connected Health series. The only thing you need to do is go to devicetalks.com and register. It's free, and you can watch it live as we're putting it on and ask questions directly to the participants. Not only will Bill Hunter of Canary Medical be part of the conversation, but we'll also talk to leaders at Baxter and BD and a startup called Adana Medical that has another sensor that is being used in the heart failure space, which is obviously a very hot area. So again, this is all brought to you by S3 Connected Health and Maxon. We're grateful for their support, and we'd love to have you be part of the conversation. I'll be leading a couple of them. Kayleen Brown, our managing editor, will be leading a couple of them, and you'll have the opportunity to ask questions directly to these great folks, including Bill Hunter of Canary Medical. So go to devicetalks.com, register for that. You can watch it live, or again, you can watch it on demand at your convenience. And if that's not enough Connected Health for you, then I invite you to our Device Talks West meeting, which is happening on October 16th and 17th. That's our in-person meeting. We'll all be meeting at the Santa Clara Convention Center. Connected Health is one of our very important tracks. It'll be a theme we'll hit upon with a few of our keynotes. We'll have senior leaders from Stryker, including Andy Pierce, who will have some conversations or some thoughts on the company's acquisitions in the space, including Vocera and Care.ai. But we'll talk to folks from Baxter, BioLink, NVIDIA, and others about the growth in the connected health space. So if you want to register for that, you can find a link on devicetalks.com, but you can also go directly to west.devicetalks.com to register. And if you use the code DTVIP25, you'll save 25% off the cost of registration. So two great opportunities to learn about connected health, but the one most directly related to this podcast will be the conversation I have with Bill Hunter of Canary Medical Again, that's happening during our Connected Health Series, September 10th, 11th, and 12th. Go to devicetalks.com to register. And again, that's sponsored by S3 Connected Health and Maxon. All right. Well, now let's get into my conversation with Jim Lancaster. Once again, he's president of Recon and executive director of global headquarters for Zimmer Biomet.
Well, Jim Lancaster, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you. Thanks, Tom. Thanks for having me. Looking forward to it.
Oh, excellent. I love these visits with Zimmer Biomet. And as I've mentioned before I pushed record, I visited Warsaw and I'm a big fan of the orthopedics capital of the world. So interested in learning more about that as well if we get into it. But let's first talk about you and your background. How did you find your way into the medtech industry?
Well, very much by happenstance, I would say. I grew up in the Warsaw community, but I grew up on a farm. So I was actually all the way through high school and really didn't even know what orthopedics was or that it was even in Warsaw, even though I went to Warsaw Community High School. And one of my friends from high school, who happened to be my freshman year roommate at Valparaiso University, his dad worked at one of the orthopedic companies at the time and asked me if I wanted to shadow an engineer before I went off my freshman year for engineering. And I did. I mean, this was back in 1987 when engineers had drawing boards in their office still. And so I shadowed an engineer and was very intrigued because I really didn't know what engineers did, if I'm honest. And it followed on the following summer with the option to do an engineering intern job, which I took. And that's kind of how it started. And it's never really stopped since.
Wow, that's amazing. And that's interesting about your comment about engineers. Yeah, they seem to have more of a place in our public consciousness these days as to what they're responsible for and able to do and how they're sending things to blow up in space and things like that. they're definitely out front versus where they were a few decades ago. Talk a bit about I'm just curious, in the 80s, when you were growing up, you know, orthopedics isn't what it is now. How is the Warsaw is the self-declared orthopedics capital of the world. What level of imprint or depth of imprint does it have on the community out there? And do people know it like people in Minneapolis know about Medtronic and Boston Scientific? I imagine they must.
Yeah, I think, you know, when I was growing up, a lot of the industry, you know, I don't think when I was growing up, Biomet hadn't even been founded yet. Mm-hmm. DePuy was an orthopedic company that was owned by different companies, so they really wasn't a focus. And Zimmer was probably the biggest, you know, orthopedic company, you know, standalone in the area. But obviously, as it's continued to evolve and the industry's grown, the businesses have grown, you know, it's a very big part of the community. I think today Zimmer Biomet is the largest employer in Kosciuszko County, which is the county where Warsaw is based in northern Indiana. So it's a very very big and lasting impact on the community, and it's one we try to continue to nurture along and keep growing and developing as a big constituent in the community.
So going back to you and your path, did that interaction with that engineer, did that take you immediately into orthopedics? Have you been in orthopedics your whole career?
I have. Yeah. It's funny. That engineer is still a friend of mine today. The funny thing was I was actually going to college to play football. I was a very ill-prepared student. And I think his comment to me was, if you're going to do engineering and play football, good luck. You'll do one or the other, or you have to quit one to do the other. And I kind of use that fuel throughout my academic career when I was struggling to, you know, the guy told me I couldn't do it, and yet, you know, we put our head down and tried to do it. So we eventually got there. And it was a little bit of, I think I really opened my eyes. I mean, I went to school with a bunch of engineering students who wanted to go into automotive or work for appliance manufacturers. And here I was, this kid off the farm who kind of fell into this position where you get to do engineering on hips and knee systems that change people's lives. So I very lucky early on found myself in an industry that was one of those that was absolutely life-changing for what I got to do, but also for the patients that we serve.
What was your first job in the industry?
I was an engineering intern, and my first job that summer, after my freshman year in college, I actually did manual, what they called ECRs, engineering change requests. So I sat there with an eraser, and I changed drawings and tolerances and dimensions on blueprints, manual drawings.
Wow. All right. So you were the ground floor.
Yeah.
And was this at Zimmer? This
was actually at DePue. I started my career at DePue. Yeah.
Yeah. So what I'm looking at your LinkedIn profile. It goes back to 2010. Help me fill in some of the gaps before that. So you started at DePue. How long were you there for?
Well, I was at DePue until 2007. So mm-hmm. So Valparaiso University is a small university, very, very good academic curriculum, but not big enough to get exposed to research. I got exposed to research through my work at DePue, and really kind of wanted to learn more about how to do research as an engineer. And being from here, I kind of thought, well, I would maybe use grad school as a way to get me out of Warsaw, but have the ability to come back. So, I ended up starting at DePue full time in 1992, moved to the UK actually in the mid 93 timeframe, and did my graduate work over there, and then worked part time for DePue while I was there, and then moved back in the mid to late 90s.
Wow. Yeah, I was looking at that, your University of Leeds, and I assumed it was the one in the UK, but I wanted to ask you about that. What led you to take to do your grad work there? Was it just the global opportunity that DePue presented, or something else?
Actually, I'll be very transparent and say when I finished my undergrad, it was in the early 90s. There was a recession, and there were a lot of engineers that didn't get jobs and who had much better, grades than I did. So there wasn't really the options of where I wanted to go to grad school in the U.S. kind of weren't available to me. Mm-hmm. So I started working with DePue full time. And, about a year over the course of that year, I got exposed to, two researchers based in the UK. One was at Royal College in London, and the other one was at University of Leeds, which was Duncan Dowson. And I just thought, well, that would be kind of an interesting opportunity, is to maybe go learn, orthopedics or expand my orthopedic experience someplace else. I thought, well, let's go for it and see what happens.
That's fantastic. So what was it about the orthopedics industry that kept you interested in it, about engineering orthopedics implants? What are the qualities and the challenges of this work that that connects with you?
I think if you go back when I started in the late 80s, I mean, we were still trying to solve problems like polyethylene wear, biological fixation. We thought osteolysis at the time was cement disease. It was a whole different era than what we live in today. And mm-hmm. I think there were all these clinical problems, and we were trying to challenge, or we were challenged to try to understand and try to fix or advance, if you will. And so I think that part early on, there was all this work to do. So from an engineering standpoint, it was a very ripe playing field. And it was very intellectually, and engaging and stimulating. And I had some great mentors along the way. And so I think it just became, there was such a great runway of being able to kind of grow and develop as an engineer. And I think the other part was that I did learn early on is, and we were working to make things better for people, right? And, mm-hmm. and at that time in my life, I probably knew a handful of people that had hips or knees, replacement. But you start to realize pretty quick that, I'm not a sales engineer at a appliance company, or I'm not an automotive engineer. It was really very, I guess there was a very much a mission, a cultural element that it tied to the people, tied to people and their well-being.
No, that's a great realization. I think certainly one that registers with a lot of folks. When did you think you wanted to move into be a business leader? Did you see yourself as an engineer throughout your career, or did you always have designs on maybe moving into other parts of the business?
No, I think I was very fortunate and blessed to have early mentors in my career that were engineers by training, mm-hmm. but always had a business mindset. And so I'm lucky that I was raised in an environment and a culture where being an engineer wasn't just enough. You had to look at, you know, not just problem solving the design opportunity in front of you, but, you know, you had to be able to also sell the product, and the product had to work well. And so I think I was always kind of conditioned to be this holistic engineer, if that makes sense. So not just looking at product problems, so to speak, or opportunities, but also what are the business opportunities? How do you come up with a very effective regulatory strategy, or what's the clinical path we need to look like? So I think early on, I was just encouraged to be more of a holistic, take a holistic approach to how we solved problems. And I think that's what eventually kind of evolved into this interest in, you know, becoming more of a business leader.
Is that the expectation you think today of engineers at orthopedics companies in general, to have a more holistic approach or holistic view?
Yeah, I think, well, I certainly, from our standpoint, we try to instill that. You know, I've always you know, coached engineers that you can have the best, you can design and develop the best product possible, but if it doesn't sell, and if for whatever reason isn't commercially a success, it really doesn't matter if that product just sits on the shelf. So we're very intentional about making sure that when we design, develop products or applications or whatever they might be nowadays, that the engineering mindset is it has to be both clinically and commercially, you know, something that we can drive to success. Because if we don't, we really haven't achieved what we're trying to achieve, and that is to make something better, work better, last longer, or solve an unmet clinical need that we have today.
And last piece of history, what brought you to Biomet?
Yeah, so I joined Biomet in 2007, and I think what it was that I you know, had been with DePuy for probably a few years under the J&J you know, leadership. And I figured out that I really just enjoyed orthopedics. You know, I really wanted to be someplace that was, you know, singularly focused on orthopedics. And that was at the right time in my career. You know, Biomet was in the process of going private, and it just, the cards kind of fell into place, and the opportunity presented itself, and it was great. It was a great transition, and kind of never looked back.
That's great. Well, let's talk about your role today. You're president of Global Reconstruction. What products fall under your purview? I have a sense I know the answer to this, but I'd like you to answer the question.
So our total knee systems, total hip systems, so all of our hip and knee, you know, areas, bone, cement, and diagnostics all kind of fall underneath that Global Recon umbrella.
So let's talk a bit about the products in your portfolio. What are your offerings well, let's talk about knee first.
So in knee, you know, our focus brand is Persona. Yeah. So Persona, you know, both our primary knee system and our revision knee system. We also have Persona as part of our partial platform and the fixed bearing option. And then on the mobile bearing side of our partial platform, we have the Oxford system.
Mm-hmm. And what are some of the advances? Let's focusing on the knee space for a bit. What are some of the advances you're seeing in that space? You folks are obviously leaders in applying sensors to implants and seem to be moving more into the smart implant space. What has developed in this space over the last couple of years?
Yeah, I think there's probably two kind of vectors of this. You know, there's implant technology that continues to evolve and progress. I think for us right now, one of the things we're very focused on is applying cementless fixation to the knee. So we have our Persona OsteoTie brand that we've launched about 16 months ago, where we have, you know, basically a 3D printed tibia tray, which has, you know, the backside of it. So on the implant, you know, side of it, from a technology standpoint, you know, cementless fixation is a big driver for us and something we're focused in, you know, because as I said earlier, you know, continuing to evolve that and make sure that, you know, we have, you know, kind of standard of care there as it relates to how we keep evolving that. On the technology side, the adjacent technology side, obviously robotics have found their way, very effectively into the total knee space. More recently, as you said, we have, Persona IQ, which is a world's first smart knee system. So I think it's looking at how do we leverage these technologies, to make sure we do the procedure, better, more efficient, more information maybe at the time of surgery when the surgeon wants it. That's kind of the advances as it relates to the surgical technique. On the implant side, if you think about something like, Persona IQ, it's the fact that we've been able to, working with Canary Medical, put the sensor technology into a stem that then goes into a tibia tray. That allows us to get data from that patient's progress.
Mm-hmm. I want to circle back to robotics in just a bit, but let's just finish out the portfolio examination. Talk a bit about what you're offering on the hip side, and are you seeing the same level of innovation in design advances in hip as we've been seeing in knee?
Yeah, so on our portfolio strategy on the hip side is similar in that we have focused brand strategy. Our G7 acetabular cup is our acetabular cup system, and so all of our new product development efforts in terms of how we continue to make investments there and drive that will be in the G7 system. On the femoral side, as you I'm sure appreciate, it's different across the range, different fixation philosophies, whether it's cemented or cementless, and it kind of changes, from where you're at around the world. So, we have flagship products like, Taper Lock Complete, Avenir Complete, Echo Biometric, and other, we have an Arcos revision system. So, we have several different offerings there that all kind of come together to make up our core of our portfolio.
This is Tom Salami of Device Talks. We're excited to bring you another great program for Device Talks West here at the Santa Clara Convention Center, talking new business models, new missions, and new intentions. I can't wait until we fill this auditorium with MedTech's best engineers, entrepreneurs, and executives. This is Device Talks West.
The foundation of connected care is the who we are that drives the what we do. We shape our environment, and then our environment shapes us.
Thoughtful discussions of how it impacts not only markets, but society and the workforce.
What is it doing for the patient? And that's what our technology needs to be.
I look at what the standard of care is today. Are there areas where we can improve upon the standard of care, or are there areas where there are significant gaps? And that's what drives me.
What am I trying to accomplish? Getting back to that core, what problem am I trying to solve? Am I going to do something new and really move the needle for patient outcomes? So there's a ton of work to be done, and that's what keeps me excited.
Why did you choose MedTech? Find out at Device Talks West on October 16th and 17th. Register at west.devicetalks.com.
The folks that are saving lives, they're all here.
On the knee space, I'm sorry, on the hip space specifically, are there opportunities for advances in there, inclusion of similar technologies? I don't know if there's an opportunity for sensors with the hip. It's different than the knee, obviously. But how is that space advancing compared to knee?
Yeah, kind of different needs if you look at hips versus knees. I think if you talk to surgeons that are doing, total hips, they'll tell you that for the most part, patients are pretty happy with their total hip. I think if mm-hmm. we look at the right applications for technology in this space, it's making sure that, given that patient's specific anatomy, which nowadays, as you know, in this specialty of hips, doesn't just include the acetabulum and the femur. We know that distal spine stiffness can affect a patient's, hip mobility. So we're looking at all of these factors in there. So there's absolutely an application for it. As we look at cup, component positioning, making sure that we've planned the case the right way, the surgeon knows what they expect when they get in there, and then they have the ability to execute that case that they planned intraoperatively. So a lot of technology around the planning and executing side, as well as making sure we have the interoperative feedback so that the surgeon knows, you know, that they've executed the case as they intended to do. So lots of areas there around, you know, applications for robotics, other kind of augmented mixed reality technologies, and even, you know, interoperative feedback using, you know, C-arms and things of that nature.
Interesting. Well, let's talk a bit about innovation in the future. You mentioned robotics a few minutes ago. Talk a bit about the ROSA program. And more recently, and I'm hoping we can get into this a bit, I'd love to talk about your agreement with Think Surgical and sort of where that fits into your plans.
Yeah. So the ROSA platform is our robotics platform. It's our flagship robotics platform. And we've developed multiple applications across that platform, initially starting with, you know, a total knee application. And then we had a partial application and a hip application. Most recently, we've, you know, launched in a limited market release, a shoulder application. So it's our robotic platform, standalone robotic platform. A lot of it's, you know, a lot of the technology is based around, you know, how we, you know, how we're able to track and make sure we're monitoring the use of different instruments, you know, cut planes on, as it relates to a knee, some of the interoperative feedback it gives the surgeons as it relates to, you know, balancing the knee. And so that's, you know, that's kind of where we're focused right now, specifically on the ROSA platform, kind of driving that forward, really trying to make sure we have the right foundation laid as it relates to our total knee application, and then kind of rounding out the portfolio more broadly based on where it makes sense for the applications.
And how about on the Think Surgical? Think Surgical as a robot that's smaller, more handheld, a real departure from the traditional surgical robotic systems that we've seen. How does that fit into your plans for the future?
Yeah, I think really that's about making sure that we're kind of, you know, head up, eyes out, looking across the horizon for different form factors. I mean, as you appreciate, I'm sure that your audience appreciates the shift from these procedures from inpatient hospital environments to outpatient, you know, freestanding ASCs. Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of these ASCs are being retrofit to do orthopedics because they weren't initially designed that way. So space and geometry, you know, footprint becomes an issue. So part of this is looking at different footprint ideas, concepts, different ways to use robotics in terms of, you know, having the ability to place pins and cutting blocks, while still letting the surgeon, you know, kind of control, you know, the saw and things of that nature. So really it's about us just continuing to look at the horizon, see what the options are out there, making sure that we don't get you know, we don't miss evolving technology, or where technology expands differently than what we might be able to do it, you know, internally and organically.
How does that fit into your sales team's bags? Is it something that is offered alongside of ROSA? Is it an exclusive part of what Zimmer Biomet's offering? What are some of the details of that arrangement?
Yeah, so right now it's really what we have is a strategic distribution partnership with Think. So we're just working with specifically the Team NE robot. We'll have the Persona system available on that, and we'll be doing, you know, we have a strategic distribution, limited number of units we're able to work with, and we'll be picking some of our user base to give us some feedback on that, and kind of we'll broach more on that and see what we think that offers for us in terms of a platform, different approach to a platform.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. And let's zoom out geographically and talk a bit about Warsaw and your role there at Zimmer Biomet. First, just talk about your role. What does the executive director of the global headquarters do? What are your responsibilities?
Yeah, sure. So about September of last year, after Ivan was appointed CEO, you know, we sat down, and there was a lot of I had been very involved with helping, you know, be very focused around engagement with our local team here in the Warsaw area. You know, how Zimmer Biomet, you know, interacts not just with our own team members, but with the broader community. You know, obviously in a post-COVID world, you know, people live anywhere, work anywhere. And so it looks different today than what it did 20, 30 years ago in terms of the executive presence here in Warsaw, specifically with Zimmer Biomet. So one of the things Yvonne had asked me to do was kind of just, you know, there were some things I was doing, leaning in, trying to help, you know, be present and helpful with driving engagement and involvement. And he said he just kind of wanted to formalize that. So, you know, we came up with this, you know, this title. And really what he's asked me to do is kind of be the face of Zimmer Biomet locally, you know, within mm-hmm. the local community, the broader surrounding community, and even, you know, state level, and make sure that I kind of keep my finger on the pulse of both what's happening as it relates to Zimmer Biomet, but also what's happening across the broader community.
Well, then take this moment. Let's talk about some of the stuff going on in Warsaw. You have an arrangement with the plug and play organization that we can get into more specifically, but more broadly, take a moment to tell our listeners about Warsaw. It's the orthopedics capital of the world, given that name for many good reasons, but you kind of hit upon at the top how important orthopedics is to the space. But tell us a bit more about where Warsaw is today and where you, as one of the principals there, would like to see it moving toward the future.
Yeah, I think, you know, one of the things that the pandemic, I think, made a lot of people aware of is, you know, the fragility of your business, your community, your industry. And I think coming out of that created kind of a burning platform for us as it relates to the not only Zimmer Biomet, but the community. I will say one thing that Yvonne has been very consistent about since he joined Zimmer Biomet was making sure that we just didn't think about ourselves as orthopedics, but let's really think about how we can be, you know, a broader med tech player. So kind of coming out of the pandemic, you know, a friend of mine who's a state representative, Craig Snow, we were talking about the community. He was worried, you know, Medtronic had made the announcement they were going to pull out their manufacturing here that was based in Warsaw. Craig was kind of worried about that as it related to the broader orthopedic. And I said, you know, I think our challenge is we have to maintain our orthopedic presence, but we also have to expand it, right? We don't necessarily want all these, you know, companies that are pretty large in nature headquartered here in Warsaw, you know, just be focused around orthopedics. It would be great if we could expand it to be more med tech based and really mm-hmm. diversify what the community sees in terms of, you know, employment opportunities, revenue base, things of that nature. So I found this situation, you know, whereby what Yvonne was kind of challenging us to do kind of really meshed up well with what I think we all realize we should be doing coming out of the pandemic. And that is we need to diversify Warsaw and Kosciuszko County and really the medical device space that's in Indiana and broaden that to be more med tech based and look at the adjacencies in areas like robotics and sensor technology and augmented mixed reality and say, well, look, if all of those technologies apply to orthopedics, and they're med tech in nature, why couldn't we start to go after some of those entities being based here as well and leverage mm-hmm. the synergies and the adjacencies?
So what does the partnership with Plug and Play mean for Warsaw? Talk a bit about that and give us some details.
Yeah, so about a year ago, Plug and Play was in Warsaw, and OrthoWorks, Bob Vito at OrthoWorks had kind of arranged for them to come to Warsaw. They were actually in the Fort Wayne area, and they had arranged for them to come to Warsaw and kind of expose us and the orthopedic business to what they do. And when I met with them and Saeed Amidi, who's their CEO and some of their leadership team, it felt like one of those things again where the stars kind of lined up. You know, we were really pushing ourselves to think, how do we diversify out, you know, beyond, you know, implant systems and what are the adjacencies that make sense. I learned about Plug and Play and what they do as an incubator, the success they've had. They didn't have a med tech vertical anywhere in the world. Mm-hmm. And so we kind of just leveraged that. Zimmer Biomet, we just jumped in and leveraged that and said, hey, what a great opportunity. And really, again, create a very sense of urgency around reinventing, but expanding who we see ourselves as not just a medical device company, but a med tech company as well. And so it made sense. They were looking, you know, they had not been in Indiana yet. They were looking to do something in Indiana. And we the synergies were great. You know, we both were aligned on the med tech vertical. And so we took the opportunity to, you know, become an anchor founding partner, and actually leveraged space we have here in our global headquarters building, to put them in house, to put them inside Zimmer Biomet.
Great. Well, let's just take a few minutes to talk about the future. Let's first talk about orthopedics, and then we can talk about where plug and play and those efforts might lead for Warsaw going forward. What do you see happening on the orthopedic space in terms of new? We talked a little bit about robotics and where it is today. We've talked about sensors, but where is this space headed? Is it poised for significant change?
Yeah, I think it is. Poised for continued, like, meaningful evolution, I would say is, mm-hmm. and I think, you know, how we measure that, it ultimately comes down to how the patients that, you know, receive these products do, you know, short term, medium term, and long term. You know, there are still some very real, clinical needs that aren't met. You know, we know, you know, joint, you know, hip dislocation is a real problem. Still, we talk about how we eliminate safety concerns, infection, you know, prosthetic joint infections are a very real problem, and how we leverage our expertise, you know, our market share position to lead in some of those. It's very timely for us to do that, and we're doing that. We're making those investments. You know, we're looking at how, you know, a market leader should act, and we're making, you know, making those investments and doubling down in some of those spaces and taking some risk on different technologies and working through different regulatory pathways to see what that looks like, knowing that some of these aren't, you know, if they were easily solved, they would have been solved a while ago. But, you know, we think this is how a leader should act, and that's what we're trying to do. I think the other element of that we're very mindful of is, you know, efficiency. What's the most efficient way to do these procedures? You know, and what information do you need at the time of the procedure? You know, there's a lot of instruments required today to do a total hip, a total knee. You know, and is that the way we should be doing it in the future? Or are there other ways, other technologies that we could adapt, you know, to areas of, you know, bone cutting or how we think about delivering instruments for the time of a procedure when these patients are outpatients? You have, you know, you basically have healthy patients going into these ASCs that have joint pain or osteoarthritis disease, and that's all. So they get in and out as quickly as possible. So we're looking at efficiency too as a big driver for us. And then, you know, obviously what underpins all that is clinical outcomes. Right. All of these advancements have to be kind of underpinned by having the right clinical outcomes and for us to be able to truly demonstrate that we're moving the standard of care forward.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. And let's just focus lastly on the Warsaw area and what this could become. I mean, we've seen a number of geographic areas try to establish, you know, medical device industries based around usually university research or maybe clinical settings, hospitals. Yours is unique in that you have several large global medical device companies with meaningful presences there. It would seem to be a great fertile ground for an industry to grow. How would you like to see your efforts there develop?
Yeah, I think so. One of the things that's kind of fun looking at the plug and play relationship, you know, right now, I think we have eight companies in this first round of incubation with plug and play.
Oh, wow. Okay.
You know, the plug and play model is you take two of those, you have two sessions, two incubation sessions per year. And we took eight just to make sure we had the right level of touch, because why these companies come someplace is they want the local experts, you know, to be invested in helping them, you know, figure out how to refine or expand or develop their technology or product further. So we've got team members involved helping. But if you think about, you know, we take, let's just say hypothetically, we take 10 on average per round. That's, you know, 20 new incubators come through every year. If, you know, three or four of those stick and say, hey, we want to be in Warsaw, Indiana, or the surrounding area because of the network that's there, not from just a device standpoint, but maybe, you know, other OEM capabilities, 3D printing mm-hmm. technologies, advanced manufacturing, or what have you, you know, that starts to be three, four companies a year that start to lay down roots and starts to build out. And if they're in that kind of med tech space, it's helping do exactly what we talked about. It gives us access to how we diversify ourselves within Zimmer Biomet, but it also then plays into that mode of how do we diversify, Warsaw, Indiana, Kosciuszko County, into not just the orthopedic capital world, but we're going after the med tech capital of the world title. We figure why not go after that? We've got a good base and, it's, adding another, championship belt to the one you have is, not all bad, right?
Not at all. No, you gotta try to, if you're going to go for the champ, you got to go for the knockouts. I think that's great. And it's exciting to have more, I think, more depth in a broader base for the medical device industry. So fantastic. Well, Jim, this has been a great conversation. Thanks for joining us on the podcast.
Thanks, Tom. I've enjoyed it and appreciate you having us. Thank you again.
All right, folks, that is a wrap. Thanks so much for joining us on this episode of the Ortho Innovation Talks podcast. Thanks to Jim Lancaster for being part of the program. If you enjoyed this podcast, make sure you subscribe to our Device Talks podcast network on any major podcast player. You'll have our Device Talks podcast, including our flagship Device Talks Weekly, sent directly to your phone so you don't miss any of our great med tech coverage. Finally, don't forget to register for our Connected Health series, which is coming up. This is our virtual series coming up September 10th, 11th, and 12th. You can register for that at Device Talks West. That is free. You can watch that live or on demand. And of course, please register for Device Talks West, which is happening on October 16th and 17th at the Santa Clara Convention Center. And if you register for that at west.devicetalks.com, you can use the code DTVIP25 and save 25% off registration. All right, that's it, folks. Thanks again for joining us on the Ortho Innovation Talks podcast.